expect everyone to call in from different areas around the nation and give us a report of 2 minutes telling us what is going on in your area. Are you doing something that's particularly interesting, or have you seen something spectacular that you need to share with everyone around the world? First of all, I'm going to read you a letter that we received from Jim Fiddler in Newfoundland. There's some exciting things going on up there. And Jim, I certainly congratulate you for getting this all together. Jim writes, "Dear Bill and Carolyn, I'm writing you this letter to tell you some very good news. At 11 a.m. on Friday, January 14th, 1994, The Hour of the Time will debut on CHMR-FM in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, the oldest city in North America where Marconi received the first wireless radio signal just after the turn of the century. Not only does this mean that people can receive these broadcasts clearly on FM, but as well this station is fed into the homes directly via cable. We are Americans here, North Americans, and have as much need for the truth as anybody else. At this time, through the closure of the Atlantic fisheries, the commencement of a large-scale project to extract oil from the seabed offshore, the proposal of a huge incinerator to burn garbage shipped here from the United States, and I believe from elsewhere eventually, and many other disturbing things, we are in a state of socio-economic turmoil. We stand to lose what little we have, not only already lost through politics and manipulation of the people. In 1949, an economically struggling Newfoundland was led into a confederation with Canada through the promise of old age pensions, baby bonuses, welfare, and so forth. Less than 51% of the people voted in favor of this confederation, and it is believed that a significant number of these votes were tampered with. So you see, we have the problems right from the start. I hope this program can help open a few eyes and ears around here. I feel the sheeple factor on the island is extreme. There are two basic groups of people. One, the people that believe everything they see on the news, the plugged-in apathetic, and the people who smelled the sour milk a long, long time ago and don't even bother anymore, the unplugged apathetic. In the meantime, I wish you, Carolyn and Bill, and all your listeners, all the best. Jim Fiddler." Now, this broadcast is going to be on CHMR FM 93.5, cable 103.7, and it may be live in the future. He's working on a fundraising for getting in more equipment so that the reception would be good enough to broadcast live to his area. Jim, I wish you lots and lots of luck. And remember, everyone out there, this started last Friday on January 14th at 11 a.m. in the morning. He started with the first debut tape that Bill Cooper made. Now, while all of you are out there thinking of the 2 minutes report that you're going to be giving, I'm just going to read something from Strategic Investment of January 19th, 1994. Something about concealed weapons. This is from Behind the Lines by Jack Wheeler. "Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, Republican of California, will soon offer legislation giving law-abiding citizens the right to carry concealed weapons. Florida citizens now have this right. Any resident not convicted of a felony may receive a concealed weapon permit, and crime against them is down 30%, and thus up against tourists whom the criminal knows aren't armed. The criminal won't assault someone who might put a 38 in his face and blow him away." We're going to open the lines in just a moment, and meantime, we'll hear just a piece of music that will help to share the idea of your calling in and reporting in your area how you're doing it your way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, it's uncertain. I live a life that's full. I travel east and every highway and more, more than this, I did it my way.
All right, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Pat. I'm in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, and as far as what's going on here, we're trying to do as much as we can, being in contact with other people. There's a group in Massachusetts that I'm in contact with, and they in turn are in contact with people in New Hampshire. So it makes for a lot of people.
That's great.
And we're all attempting. We're going to try to have Bill come up here.
Oh.
Hopefully, you know, and when the weather clears.
Right, that's what you're all thinking about right now.
No, we're going to try to work on that, so of course we'll be in contact with you pertaining to that.
Well, Bill is at home right now listening, and I'm sure he's kind of surprised. As you know, can't be with us, but that's a really nice first call to hear that at home.
Yeah, well, you know, I, at one point there you had said that you didn't hear much from this part of the country, but now that we get you at 8 o'clock... You know, the program here at 8, midnight is kind of hard.
Right. I hope Swiss America Trading staff are hearing that and realizing how appreciative you all are out there. That's really great. Yeah. How did you all meet?
Well, we met on when we went to Washington for the Project 93.
I see.
So we met on a bus, you know, going down there. We've been in contact since. And it's, you know, they're all just really great people, great patriots. And all, you know, working for the same reason. And also the Gannett stock, we're trying to advertise that a bit, too. You know, get that news out.
Well, that's good. Thanks for calling in, Pat.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about Bill being sick. I hope he feels better.
Okay.
And if my 2 minutes is up, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Pat.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, let's hear from somebody else. That's good to start off with somebody from New England. Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Great.
Oh, excellent.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles, heart of Earthquake City.
Oh, good. We hope to hear from you.
This is White Rook. I'm not going to give my real name. I'm a patriot. I'm a commander of a small militia force out here that we're putting together, a group of patriots.
Is that an organized militia?
This is a constitutional militia,
right?
Which we have the right to organize.
Great.
There are several hundred of us out here just in Los Angeles, in the San Fernando Valley. And I'd like to let all the other patriots out there know that there are people organizing and getting ready for the rainy day.
That's really good to hear.
We are standardizing on weapons calibers and equipment and communications gear. We are getting ready with transportation and money and to support each other. And we just had the earthquake, and our group is supporting each other at this very moment. Some of us don't have water running. We're sharing what we have. You know, and this is turning out to be a small exercise in what is to come. I'm really surprised it got on the air.
Right. Well, this is a surprise for us, too, because you brought up the question of food and water. And I wonder if people...
Let me tell everybody out there, this earthquake was a big earthquake. big earthquake, a lot of devastation out here. Last night at the markets, there were lines. Half the stores weren't open, and though the damage was centralized into a small area, it's disrupting all of LA. And imagine if there was a large financial crisis, who knows, any kind of crisis,
right,
how it will disrupt your community totally. You must prepare.
Absolutely. And I wonder if Bill is listening and smiling and thinking, if only everyone had listened to him and prepared with purchasing food that he offered for up to 2 years for your family. Look how valuable it could have been.
What I'm suggesting to members of the militia who are coming in and joining this finding out about the New World Order and all the stuff that's going to come down the road, I'm suggesting to these people, the first thing they must do is get weapons and ammunition. We are standardizing on certain military caliber weapons out here, because in a rainy day, you'll be able to pick this up off the street. Your priority, number one, is weapons and ammunition. Your second priority is reloading equipment. Your third priority is food, clothing. And on down the line, if you can afford it, communications gear, body armor, extra vehicles. We even have a lot of us with non-registered vehicles we can use on a rainy day. We are preparing. Los Angeles is preparing. There are lots and lots, thousands of patriots out here flocking to this cause.
Right, Rick, I hate to cut you off and all. I'm going to let you talk another half a minute or so. But can you tell me, how long ago did you all start getting together and preparing?
Well,
like yesterday or last month?
Actually, I'm new to this. I'm only 6 months into this. I went to a rally with Linda Thompson, showing the Linda Thompson video.
Where?
In Los Angeles, and I woke up.
Okay.
And I found other patriots, and I started a group, and our group has grown from 15 to 50.
Great. When was the rally?
Our personal group, and there are dozens of other groups.
Great. When was the rally?
About 6 months ago.
6 months ago. Right on.
You tell me, get ready.
I just started hearing about this last February. There are a lot of us new to this, and we must point home the fact that it's real. And I do thank you for your call.
And we call ourselves the CMF, the Constitutional Militia Force, the CMF. And if anybody wants to rally under that banner, we welcome them.
Great. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, we didn't hear about the earthquake too much out there, but we heard about how people are reacting to it and using their preparedness. Maybe people should call in and ask Bill if he would reopen the foods program for members. All right, next caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Karen.
Hello.
This is Joe, and I live in West Virginia in the hills.
Hi, Joe. Lucky you.
I gotta ask you, maybe someone around the country knows something about this. I live in a town, I don't live in a town, I live out in the hills, but we have a town of about 8,000 people. And there's an old coal mining track going from one town to another, which is about 50 miles away.
Right.
And the other town only got 8,000 or 10,000 people.
Yep. Right.
They're redoing this old track for commuter. And we have 25% unemployment. No one travels there back and forth to these two towns. There's no shopping centers, there's no theaters, there's no malls, there's nothing. Why would they be doing this? Does anyone have any idea?
That's a good question.
It's scary, because it's only about 5 miles from my home, and I live on 59 acres, and I can't get anyone around here to have anything to do with being patriotic. The patriotic, as far as watching television and things of that type, but they don't want to hear nothing about no patriotic movement. And I buy shells and all the time, and my neighbors seem to think that I'm lost.
Well, you just carry on, and quietly, your neighbors are going to start looking to you for information. Thank you for your call, and we'll hope to hear from you again with an answer to what you've been seeing.
I listen to you every night, and I will be watching it, and I will get back with you.
Right. You know, we are on again at, it would be midnight your time.
I catch you at midnight also.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Is there anybody else out there from another part of the country? We're hitting the East Coast, and we've hit the West Coast. talked about Newfoundland, and we'd like to hear from somebody that attended Waco and the opening of the trial. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a new listener, but I've been aware of the problem for about 30 years.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
Yes, ma'am. You come in here spasmodically on that radio show there. I have found out that they have miseducated just about everybody that they could, and those that have the best education seem to have the worst, because we've lost the meaning of what a Republican form of government is. It's absolutely nothing but a contract that you can read to protect your rights. We lost our credit in 1913, when Congress gave away the credit of the states to the thing called federal. If the people look in the Constitution, they won't find the word federal, because federal to us is like Soviet is to the Russian people. And it's hard to tell all this stuff because of our social schools, and then the schools, the heavy schools are all controlled by money power. You know, gravity never changed. That's the laws of nature, nature's God. Centrifugal force doesn't change. The laws of nature are kept standard, and no one breaks those laws. But if you live with the natural law, you're promised in the scriptures that you'll have bountiful harvest and things will work for you.
Right, and I'm going to thank you. Your 2 minutes are up. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Glad you called from Florida. All right, we'll open up the lines for the next caller. Here they are. Hello.
Hello, I'd like to add to the second caller tonight from Los Angeles. There's a lot of patriots in Mississippi running into a problem of a lot of Masons joining the patriot movement. Have to be very suspicious of them and their motives. But we've been able to identify MJTF training camps where they're warehousing their black helicopters, Soviet and UN trucks, and we're doing like he did, the caller in Los Angeles. We're stockpiling ammunition and guns and uniforms and food, and we're in there with him. But be very careful who you associate with.
Any cues on how you recognize people? I've had somebody ask, how can we tell?
Well, a lot of the lower-ranking Masons will just tell you they're a Mason.
That's true.
The upper-level Masons, you basically just have to be very suspicious. I'm not as adverse first as William Cooper is in identifying Masons, but many of them will identify themselves to you if you start talking about the Masonic rituals. They might ask you how you know so much, or they may contradict what you say. If you tell them something you know about the Masons, they may say, well, that's not, well, how do you know? Well, they start telling you, well, I am a Mason. But there's a lot of them out there.
Right, and I guess your 2 minutes are up. That's helpful, though. People have asked me, what are we going to do when things begin? How are we going to know who's good and who's against us?
All groups. People you know personally.
Right. People you've known for a long, long time, preferably.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. We'll wait for the next caller. And can I remind you that we have a world almanac full of information. And if you look in the table of contents, you won't find anything in there about CFR, Trilateral, Bilderberg Group. Isn't that strange? Here's our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. I'm Ginny from Saugus, Massachusetts calling. How are you tonight?
Oh, fine, Ginny. How are you? How's your snow up there in cold weather and electricity?
It's pretty bad. We had an ice storm, and really, we didn't move much up here today at all. I just wanted to touch base with you and tell you that we do have a group going in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. We have some people from Maine, down in Rhode Island, and I believe one of the callers, Pat, called in earlier from Connecticut.
Yes, that was good.
And we are having a meeting next week, a big one of the New England area. We had a meeting Saturday night, and we did discuss the Gannett stock. And
that's where you wanted me to fax you a copy, and you lost all the electricity, and I couldn't do it.
Well, I think the electricity is on now, and I can call you after the show and give you the number again if you know.
I have the number.
Oh, you do have it. Okay. All right. Let's see. What else can I tell you now, what we've been doing? We've been waking people up in this area by going to meetings of our congressmen and passing out, in this state, they passed a resolution that the people aren't even aware of for amendments to the Constitution, and it was passed by a voice vote. And this seems to be enlightening a lot of people, because when they read this, they're up in arms, and they are calling their congressmen. And we've had a lot of calls of people wanting to join the organization regarding this particular resolution that has upset them very much.
Very good. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, and I thank you.
2 minutes are running out, and I hope we'll hear from you again.
You sure will.
Okay, thanks,
okay.
Virginia.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, going to meetings, town meetings in your area can be fruitful. Here's our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is George McDowell from Arkansas.
Oh, Midwest.
Yeah, over here in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trying to wake up the people, because I got my hand on a VCR tape about 30 minutes long concerning the school that President Bill Clinton organized some years ago. And what it consisted of was he would get the elite students of Arkansas and told them, out of all the ones, y'all are the elite, you're the cream of the crop. And they would show films on Nazism and homosexuality. So that's what we've been doing. We've been ordering these VCRs and scattering them out across the United States. So I want to encourage everybody to just do whatever you can do. Blow the trumpet loud and clear. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right, the phones are open again, and the number is 602-333-2174. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Carolyn. This is Bruce from New York.
Hello, Bruce.
I'm hardly getting you in. The reception's really bad. I don't know if that's a unique problem or if it's that way in general for everybody, but I'm calling to report on the Waco trial.
Oh, good.
The survivors. And I was down there. I got down there the 10th, and when they were going to pick the jury. And I was a little bit disappointed. I got there late in the afternoon, and there weren't that many protesters. But I did hear that morning there were about 30 protesters. And I was also there the third day, and there were even fewer protesters there. And I felt good being down there. I felt like, I was doing something. I drove all the way from New York to go down there, and, it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity for people who know what's going on to really make a stand and have a voice. And, I know it's hard, because, we're working and, we have our lives to live. But, I also think it's just important that we really have to understand that our freedoms, there's a price for our freedoms, and somewhere along the line we're really gonna have to do a little bit of sacrificing if we are gonna get back our country.
We're gonna have to take sides, aren't we?
Yeah.
And be right up front. Did you attract much attention when you were there?
Well, I did, because the media. Because I was one person with a sign,
What did your sign say?
Oh, my sign said, the new Inquisition, let me think if I remember exactly what it said. The new Inquisition, the Holy FBI, ATF, branded the French Davidians as heretics, and then I wrote down the, First and Second Amendments. And I think it's the Fourth Amendment, which talks
right.
about our rights to be secure in our homes and stuff. So, the media would come around and take pictures, and I told them how my last name is Muhammadu, which stands for the Man of God. And that name goes back to the French Huguenots that came over here during the during the St. Bartholomew massacre over in Europe. And, you know, it's just a shame, you know, to see where this country has gone. I mean, my forefathers came over here to get away from that sort of thing. And to see it happening here now, it's really a shame. And whether or not, you know, I don't agree with David Koresh's those people's religion or not, is regardless, you know. What I believe is what I believe, and what everybody in this country has a right to believe whatever they want to believe. They want to believe that that's God, you know, by all means, in this country you got a right. And the government has no right at all, no purpose at all, getting into people's, you know...
Personal lives.
Personal lives.
Bruce, your time is kind of running a little up, and
hey.
I agree with you. Our constitutional rights 1, 2, and 4, freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms, and freedom of privacy in our homes without having the windows broken in, were what we were speaking out against when I was on the hillside in Waco. And, again, when we were at Project 93 on the steps of Washington, D.C. in September 1993. It's been quite a last year, wasn't it, Bruce?
Yes, it has been. And I think we're looking towards a very important year. And I just hope, you know, I just hope more people who know what's going on, we know when these opportunities come up, we get up to, you know, take some time off, do the sacrifice that needs to be done, you know.
Win back our country.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Bruce.
Okay.
Really great.
Okay.
Bye. All right, I think we have time for one more caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to let everybody know we had a People's Constitutional Court going in Tampa, Florida.
What is that?
It's a common law constitutional court for the people, and I could give you the clerk's phone number if you don't have time to talk about it right now.
All right, because we will be breaking in about 1 minute, and you have that 1 minute to talk. Phone number would be good.
Okay, it's 251-9306.
251-9306.
Right, and we need people to refer their problems to the Constitutional Court so that it can be shown support.
How long ago did this start?
About a year and a half or so. It's been acknowledged as being legitimate by a judge, and not that he has any authority over it, because it's our court, you know, we the people. And Congress has been notified, and there has been no reaction from Congress, so it's all legal, and it's our court.
I should play the other song again, doing it our way, my way, our way. We the people, thank you for calling in about it.
Okay.
And we'll talk again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
PEIR. and the title is Waco, the Big Lie Revealed as a Hoax. And the article purports to tell, or actually has an interview with Ben Carter, columnist in Machine Gun News, that purports to have analyzed frame by frame and found editing and the comment, quote, Linda Thompson suckered us all with this one. It's not extremely well written, and it isn't particularly clear exactly how they found out that the film was a big hoax, but I just thought that you and Bill might want to check it out.
Would you repeat the name of the source again?
Yes, the source is The New Gun Week.
And the issue?
The issue is Friday, January 21, 1994, page 3, and the byline is the industry editor of The New Gun Week, and his name is Dean, D-E-A-N, Speier, S-P-E-I-R.
Well, we'll look into it, and one of these days we will come out with the truth, and we'll all be able to agree at least on whatever is true. We're beginning to hear a lot of different points of view. Thank you for calling in and sharing that.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Is there another caller out there? The number is 1-602-333-2174. We'll wait and see if we can hear from another part of the country. I know we have heard in the past from Hawaii. I don't think we've heard from anyone in Alaska yet. Canada. One 602-333-2134. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings from Florida. My name is Robert Donahue.
Hello.
How's it going?
Fine. Maybe I can just edit that. That was 2174, 333-2174, our fax number. That's our call-in number. What's going on in your area?
Oh, a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of little patriot movements running around. I run a Macintosh bulletin board, a BBS for computers. And for about 3 years now, and I've had all sorts of tech files online to be kept. If you'd like to call, the area code is 813-894-3530. And they can use any communication software and leave me messages, updates from what else is going around the world.
Right. What else do you find is mainly going on in your area that you need to know right now?
We're concerned with a few things. Right now we're concerned with the gun laws that are really, really starting to come down around our neck. Number two is FinCEN, the black helicopters. Any and all information from around the United States would be helpful. We're trying to compile some stuff. Another thing that I've been noticing and things that I've been told is the DOD is being... it's financing the interstate restructuring.
What is DOD?
The Department of Defense.
Good.
You know, the rest areas and the way stations.
Right.
Being fortified and rebuilt like you wouldn't believe in this area. The way stations have been rebuilt for almost 8 months now. They're like fortresses down here. Two lanes going in and out now between Tampa and Orlando and Tampa and Fort Myers. They're sitting there dormant. They're brand new. They've been built. They've been sitting there for 8 months. So when they go into effect, we don't know. So anybody that's got any information on that, they can also call me voice at 813-823-7714.
That's great. How low did you find the black helicopters are flying in your area?
Turpin Springs, they're flying about 200 feet. They're going northeast towards Ocala. Somewhere during the middle of the day, they're flying south or a little less than that, about 100 feet. Sometimes they fly real low, like treetop.
Right. Thanks for the information. I've heard them that they've hovered over the tops of some people's cars.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a few incidences down here. We tried to pick them up. Well, we know where the fuel oil loops are in the local area. We've tried to pick them up on scanners. We've tried to pick them up on frequency counters to see what freaks they're using to talk back and forth. And one guy pulled the frequency meter out of his car when he seen one go by. And the guy seen it or whatever, and he thought it was something. He pointed his belly of the chopper at the guy because he didn't know what he was pulling out of the car. But they're saying that it's like harassment down here. We're being harassed by the government. We're being harassed by the state, local authorities.
Are you recommending to everybody that they keep cameras and tape recorders? And
most definitely. The things that you can possibly arm yourself with, communication coming from, you know, members of your other group or family.
Right.
Definitely keep yourself well supplied with food and water.
And people who have car telephones, I understand that they remember to carry them with them.
That's another good, definitely. Cameras, recording equipment, frequency counters, scanners, anything you can do to help the cause there.
Right. I'm going to have to cut you off because it is a little more than 2 minutes, and I certainly appreciate your call.
God bless you all. Y'all have a nice night.
Call again now.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see if we can hear from another part of the country. There are things going out there. We need to share them. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Carolyn. I'm calling from Louisiana.
Oh, great.
I'm calling to alert the people that on the 26th of January at 10 a.m. at the state capitol, there will be hearings on gun control legislation before a legislative committee. And I'm calling to urge that everyone from Louisiana please try to be there, even if you have to take a day off from work, because from these hearings, they will decide what type of gun legislation, if any, to try to pass in the legislative session. I'm also calling to tell you that we had this raid that took place in Amite, Louisiana, by a multi-jurisdictional task force. And in an effort to try to find out what exactly is going on, I called the so-called Capital District Law Enforcement Planning Council for Baton Rouge and 10 other parishes, which would be counties in other parts of the country. And it seems that they've divided each state up into certain regions by taking and grouping counties or parishes together.
Mm.
And I was calling to ask what type of federal funding had been given to the different sheriffs for this drug task force, which is bringing in the multi-jurisdictional task force, including the U.S. Army, used against the people. And the young lady who answered the phone told me that all of that information is totally secret. We do not have a right to look at the grants. And if she were to either tell or let someone look at the grant applications for the funds, she would lose her job. So I think this bodes very ill in that it seems that we have a secret police that's being imposed right before our very eyes. And we have no right as taxpayers whose money they are using to be used against us to even see what they promise the federal government they will do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would urge that everybody look in their area and try to do a little research, perhaps put the sheriffs on notice that they do not like them entering into agreements with the federal government for law enforcement. I also would urge that everyone look in the yellow pages, or the blue pages as they are now, and look under Military Department of Emergency Preparedness. Because I found that we have such a group in Louisiana, and I called that number and asked them if they were FEMA, and they said no, they weren't FEMA, but they were the contact directly under FEMA for the state of Louisiana. And so they did give me the FEMA number, and I called FEMA, and she, of course, tried to refer me to our regional headquarters in Dallas. But I think this is being done without the knowledge or consent of the people when they establish a Military Department of Emergency Preparedness. And they are, in fact, setting up a standing army right before our very eyes without our knowledge or consent. I would urge if anybody else has information about this, if they'd please call in and share it with us.
Right, because I think the powers that we're working against are sitting there laughing at us because we aren't looking into all of these things as you are.
And there has been a conspiracy of silence by the news media. I mean, they're nothing but the propaganda arm for the government in that they keep people ignorant of what is really happening. And
right. But I think we have a responsibility as citizens, too, to get in there and telephone the media day by day. That's not even a long-distance call. And find out your 1-800 number of your congressman and get on the phone.
And not only with the congressman, but with the local law enforcement people like the sheriffs, because they are closer to the people and they do have to be elected.
Right, and your state congressman also. Another thing is considering carrying the Constitution with you at all times, because you never know when you're going to need to know your rights.
Well, that's right. It's becoming more and more frequent that we do need to know our rights, even though they seem to have no regard for our rights. But I'll hang up and listen to other callers.
All right. Thank you for calling. Well, that was an interesting report. I think all of us also have to be sure that our children all have a copy of the Constitution that they carry with them at all times and that they become familiar with it. Here's another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
I wanted to...
Where are you calling from?
California.
California.
Southern California.
Southern, okay.
This is Ming.
Ming. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Talking about children.
About children?
No, talking about children, and you're calling in.
Oh, yes. That's not what I wanted to talk about, though. I wanted to talk about what's, what everyone else is talking about as far as the black helicopters and
mm-hmm.
that they can contact. That is like a clearinghouse on that, and she is, her name is Bernadine Smith, and she's head of the Second Amendment Committee here in the United States. And she's been on a lot of radio talk shows lately. She's quite in demand, but people need to be able to contact her so that they can get information directly from her. And she will send out packets of information so that everyone will have the same information and know where all these sightings are at and what to be looking for and the laws. She has it all down on paper in black and white, and it's amazing what this woman has done, and she spent years and years doing it. So if you don't mind, I'd like to give her phone number out so that people can contact her. And I'd like to also ask if you would be willing to get her on the show as a guest.
Well, we'll talk to Mr. Cooper about that when he's feeling better.
Okay.
This sounds very, very important. What does she have a name of her group?
No, it's the Hanford. She's the one that drew up the Hanford Initiative, which is the Second Amendment clause that she has been trying to get here in California into our California Constitution. She and Senator Don Rogers. And, of course, the NRA has been blocking her now for almost 8 solid years, and she has spent thousands and thousands of her own dollars trying to get this thing through, fighting the NRA. But at any rate, can I give...
Call phone number. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's 209-584-5209, and if you guys can get a hold of her and see if you can't get her on the show, that would be great, because people are going to have a lot of questions to ask her.
Fine.
I have a lot of information to give out.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
That's helpful.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
That makes me remember something about certain counties and certain states have declared sovereignty. It'd be interesting to hear something about one of them. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling from Canada.
Great.
Okay, I'll just turn my radio down here. Yeah, we are...
Which part of Canada?
Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We see the black helicopters up here quite often, too, and we know of 5 different internment camps that they are building in Canada, and there's probably more.
Do you know where they are?
I'll give you...
a rough idea?
I'll give you a name of one. One is in southern Ontario. It's called the Meaford Tank Range.
Mm-hmm.
It's near... it's about 100 miles north of Toronto. You've probably heard of Toronto. Okay?
Right.
And there's one in Nova Scotia. I'm not sure just where that one is. There's one in Quebec. Another one at Cool Lake, Alberta. And also in British Columbia somewhere. So, we've seen as many as 15 of these black helicopters flying at once from the Tank Range. It's like an army facility, okay?
Right. And how low do they fly?
They're somewhere around 300 to 1,000 feet.
Oh, they're pretty far up then.
Yes, they are. They seem to stay up very high. We understand that there's a place called Mitchell's Bay in southern Ontario. It's right across from Detroit. And there's a staging area there for these black helicopters, and they fly back and forth across the border there, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Air Force states there in the States, so they fly back and forth across. And we're stocking up food and ammunition and guns and that type of thing, and we have been for a few years.
And warm clothing, too, because you have the cold weather.
Yeah, we have some cold weather, and we're trying to get retreats ready in the North Country in the bush. And, we have a newsletter that we print and we send out to people. So
could you send us a copy?
Pardon me?
Could you send us a copy?
I certainly will.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we'll wait for our next caller. I could mention that we had a call this morning. I wasn't here to receive it. A call from Ireland. They like very much the lead-in music that William Cooper uses every broadcast. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carol. This is Kathy in Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. Hello.
Two things. I'd like to know from Virginia in Massachusetts where that New England meeting was going to be. Perhaps tomorrow night. Oh.
Right. Well, perhaps Virginia can call in the evening show. Will you be listening at midnight?
Well, another thing, I got an interesting brochure in the mail today. It's called World Citizenship, a Global Ethics for Sustainable Development from...
Can you speak up?
Okay, from the Baha'i International Community.
Mm-hmm.
All about how we can become world citizens, and it's like they're working with the UN, and they have some interesting topics, the vision of world citizenship, the promotion of world citizenship. They say the United Nations government and educational agencies seek to make the principle of world citizenship part of the standard education of every child.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a line, public awareness, and they say campaigns to raise public awareness of the challenges of world citizenship must make use of the full range of media and the arts. Then they have the challenge of world citizenship. World citizenship is a concept as challenging and dynamic as the opportunities facing the world community. And it says it should become the single most important point of ethical reference in all UN activities. I thought this was a very interesting little brochure tying Baha'i in with UN.
And the New World Order, which...
Oh, yeah, isn't it nice how they sent it to me? I also know, as far as education, they do, the Peace Corps has a program...
The Peace Corps, did you say?
Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
They have a program called World Wise Schools, and they've tried to get it in all the school districts, and they teach internationalism through this program. And that what they do is ask the return volunteers to come in and talk about the countries they've been to and, you know, how wonderful it is and all that. Which, I mean, it can be beneficial also, but, you know, rather
it can make us forget our American ways, though, I believe, don't you?
Oh, well, that's the thing. I mean, I am a citizen living in the world, but I want to be a citizen of the United States of America.
Of America, right.
So I just thought I'd throw that out.
Thank you for calling in. And
okay, thank you for your program, and God bless you and Bill and his family.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I think we all have to make an effort to do what Bill has been doing, share the music of our common heritage as Americans and share our symbols and get a little more visibility out there as the United States citizens. Hello, you're on the air.
Carolyn, this is Ming again, and I forgot to tell you, Bernadine just sent me in the mail a copy of something she got last week, faxed to her. They're going to try and get an initiative into California for the One World Government, and they're going to start with California. This stuff is scary. She sent me out 5 pages, and so you guys need to get a hold of her and get a copy of this.
Thanks, Ming. That's very helpful.
Be on the ballot this year here in California.
Thank you for calling back in with that.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. I think we have time for about one more call, one or two. If there's someone out there from an area we haven't heard from, here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Dave in Albuquerque. I'm sorry, I'm turning down my radio. That last woman who said she wanted to be a citizen of the world, but be a citizen of the United States, we have to be very careful when we say we're a citizen of the United States that we spell that with a capital C. Because as we've learned from Ralph Epperson and a lot of other good researchers,
right.
If you're a citizen with a small c, that means you're a citizen of what Mitch Modolsky calls the federal zone, or you're a citizen of the total jurisdiction of Congress under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution, which gives them dictatorial powers over Washington, D.C., and all the federal enclaves and forts and things. So let's just be very careful what we call ourselves so we know that we mean a citizen of the 50 states united.
Very good. I'm glad you called and reminded us of that point.
Yeah, that's a really...
It's important.
And I'm just starting to get a handle on understanding how that works. I strongly recommend Mitch Modolesky's book, The Federal Zone. And if you'd like, I'd be happy to give you the address. He has a group called the Account for Better Citizenship, and that is care of USPS Post Office Box 6189, San Rafael, California Republic. He says don't use the two-letter abbreviations for the states, because that identifies you. That's another way they trick you into becoming a 14th Amendment.
Right, and I'm going to have to cut you off. People can call in for the information. And thank you for calling about that.
You're welcome, Carol.
And we'll say goodbye to this caller and to everyone around the world that's been listening. I think maybe you've had your eyes open tonight. There are things going on. People are preparing for what is coming down. Remember to call Gene Miller at Swiss America, 1-800-BUY-COIN, and listen to this.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, I'm certain I've lived a life that's full. I travel east and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I climbed each charted course, each careful step on the byway. More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I should call, and it is mine. My fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got else? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels. this was mine.
Are you going to call in later tonight and give us some information about your... Yeah, right.